Assembly Meeting, September 21st, 2006.
Is this on, ma'am?
Here. Sarah Boxer.
Here.
Daniel Budick.
Here.
Mark
Holmes. Here.
Ron Dana.
Excuse.
Kate. Here.
Matty Miller. No, excuse.
Adam Gay. Roger Boone. Nolan Greenberg.
Here.
Vincent Hartman.
Here.
Ryan Lyman.
Here.
Grace Leonard.
Here.
Neil Desargan.
Here.
Here.
Present.
DJ
Swiftman. Here.
Thomas
Thompson.
Here. Rachel
Wolfhard.
Here.
Stacey Lynch is
from RSC. She's Stacey Lynch is from RSC.
I don't
even. Okay. Now Vice President Coombs will be the open microphone.
Howdy, Nitin, Ari, and Austin. At this point, we'd like to ask if any of the three of you, apparently, or any other community members in the audience, have anything to bring to open microphone today, since all members of the Cornell community are non-voting SA members. Please do so at this point in the agenda. Anybody? Anything? All right, thank you, gentlemen.
Now it's time for the approval of the minutes.
Do you guys want to save us again? Which minutes are we doing?
This is 2 weeks ago.
Before you have the minutes from 2 weeks ago. No, this is last week.
Yeah, last week.
Last week.
What happened to the one?
Last week someone said I haven't.
Didn't we table the one from last week?
We did table the one from last week, but you don't have them in front of you.
What did it have?
If they were handed out and everyone presumably wanted to take the week to read over them, then
wasn't the issue. They needed direction.
That was the clarified issue. Last week's minutes needs corrections. That's why we tabled them. It wasn't that people didn't.
These
look over them now. They tabled them if they need corrections.
Yeah, point of order to the chair. Resolution 1 is passing 13-5. A charter amendment requires 2/3 of the voting membership, and that was not achieved last meeting, so that doesn't pass.
Point.
A charter. This is a point of order. A charter amendment requires 2/3 of the voting body, which is 23 members of the SA. This amendment only had 13, so this did not pass from last week.
We have 19 members. Right?
It's 23. There are under no circumstances in the charter.
We only have 19 voting members.
The parliamentarian did say that. And yeah, he's right. All right, 20. We need 23 members. So you're right. That did pass.
Point of order. I mean, the charter does say that. The charter is assumed to exist when we're in full operation after this election. But you can't use three empty members, four empty members who have not been elected as negative votes to exclude from that majority count. So it's the percentage of the active body of 19. So I believe that passed to 13.
We bring the resolution back after we vote in the members. And would somebody please table these?
Motion to table next week. Second.
So we can't.
Okay, is that any sense? All right. Thank you.
Point of information, have we approved the minutes from
We haven't approved either of those minutes, but we don't have them and they need a correction.
So
the issue wasn't that people needed three of them.
We should wait until they come forward.
Wait, can I have a point of inquiry? Why are we voting on anything until the new people come in?
What?
Why are we voting on anything until the new people come?
That was a charter amendment. That's different. Everything else. It's the total voting membership for a charter amendment.
Didn't we change other things? Wasn't there a resolution changing some of Mark's stuff?
We didn't vote on that.
Yeah.
We did not vote on that. Okay. Does anybody else have any more questions? All right. Time for announcements and reports. The first announcement is fall elections update from Director of Elections, Chad.
Thank you, Kwame. Good afternoon, everybody. Just to update you on elections, they've obviously closed voting this morning. I think we had a report of maybe five voting problems issues with the online ballot system. So that was obviously a complete success. Furthermore, we should have results out for everyone at the latest by mid-month for the candidates and for you all to view, including vote totals, et cetera. So I'm sure you're all very interested in that. More personally, tonight, for Representatives Bogner, Boxer, Disarge himself, and Thomason, and UA members Well and Hammer, there's going to be an election committee hearing for the challenges that were presented to the election petition process today. After review of the challenges, we will be observing only three challenges at the hearing. So the rules do accommodate up to 12 minutes for presentation by both the challenger and challengee. Or challenge, so it could run up to 30 minutes like tonight. So I'm sure you guys are really disappointed with the challenge tonight, but that's how it is. So that's really all I have in terms of an update. I think elections were a success. Hopefully the winners will be revealed to us tomorrow morning, and it should be sent to the 40 members to your dais. Any questions? I'd love to hear them.
Are there any questions? Okay, thank you. Our next announcement is about the blood drive from Liaison Goldfarb.
So basically,
another
group signed up for the blood drive.
I signed up for the
blood drive.
Okay.
I
can't get blood.
Okay, are there any questions? All right, next we have a finance update from Vice President Boxer.
This is just a thank you to everyone who's gotten me budgets. I have three that ATCOM will be seeing on Monday. It's SASB, Ivy Council, and JFAR, right? So I'm assuming that everyone else is happy with their $200 for the year. And just a reminder that if you are a committee chair and, you know, planning on using that money, basically the way that it's going to work is that you come to me beforehand and we'll discuss, you know, whether or not it's within your purview. Presumably it probably will be. You're going to have a lot of freedom with that money. And then spend it, and I just need to sign off on the reimbursements, and that will be your money for the year. So, but those of you who did get me budgets, those three committees, I appreciate it, and we'll see you on Monday.
Okay, are there any questions about that? All right, next we have a parliamentarian update from our parliamentarian editor.
You need the microphone?
No, it's good.
All right.
The only thing I just wanted to say, three things real quick. One, each of you should have received, like, Kevin, can you hold yours up? Everyone over there. That little thing with the pictures of the people on the front, it's a parliamentary procedure packet. So everything that we talked about, if you weren't there at the retreat this weekend, all of it's there in terms of, like, glossary of terms. Like, it's got a little charter cheat sheet. It's got all the vote breakdowns of what motions you can make, what votes you require. So if you have any questions, punch three holes in it, throw it in your binder. It's really helpful. God, if you guys have any questions, let me know. Second, as Kwame emailed out earlier, the charter test will be today after the meeting, and we'll talk about that after we get through all the other business. And just third, real quick, to sort of everyone understand what's going on with charter changes. I know that there's at least one resolution as part of our business before our four new student representatives have been placed into the membership of the assembly. Any of those resolutions can still be passed, but it just requires 2/3 of 23, which is 16. Just to clarify that.
All right, with any questions? Okay, next we have Vice President Greenberg with an update. Or
I just want to thank all the SA members for coming to the retreat on Sunday. I hope you got a lot out of it. I know I got some stuff out of it too. If you did not come and you did not give me some sort of excuse beforehand, it's going to count for half an absence. Just let that be known. In the future, if you can't attend an event, please let me know ahead of time and we can settle something. So,
okay, thank you. On to business of the day. Did anybody want to add something to business of the day?
Wasn't I in the agenda?
Oh, I'm sorry. We have a PR update by Vice President Slickland.
Hi, guys. I just wanted to remind everyone that my tug is Saturday. I have like three or four people. If anyone else is interested, we need six to do that. So if you're interested, just contact me a little bit later. Also, I just want to let you know about something I'm doing with the hotel school dean. We're setting up this thing called Coffee with the Dean on Wednesday. Wednesdays. It's twice a month. He's funding it. Basically, he's just going to sit in the student lounge, and students are going to come in and have a cup of coffee with him and just discuss it. So if you guys are looking at ways to do outreach to your constituencies, that's a great way, and you might want to look into it. I'd be happy to help you plan that. Also, I sent out some guidelines last night for the SA guest room. We're going to go back to the drawing board and discuss these a little bit later. The SA is not going to vote on those today, and we'll bring that up for a future meeting.
All right, thanks. Were there any questions about that? Are there any other announcements or reports? Okay, on to business of the day. Did anybody wish to add anything to business of the day? Okay, on to unfinished business.
I motion to table resolution 8.
Second.
Oh, actually, it's already been, I think everybody that sponsored that already took their name off, so it's already tabled indefinitely. All right. Okay. On to resolution 6, resolution regarding SA agenda formulation. And I'm going to step down as chair.
All right, gentlemen, you have 15 minutes.
Okay, so basically we have nothing new to add from what we said last week. The only thing is last week I sort of tripped up for a sec because I was looking to see where it gave to the president. If you look on the first page, it says 6.7, agenda. The agenda of the SA's and regularly scheduled meetings will be compiled by the executive vice in bold because it uses the president. So when we do like additions, we just put it in bold, so that's why. So it's just basically giving it to the executive vice president, which has always been precedent. And if you guys have any questions,
actually, I do have a quick point before we end. Basically, this needs 16 votes to pass, and there are 17 members here. So, if you do have a problem with this, please speak up so we can resolve it before we vote.
All right. Are you guys okay? Representative Hill.
Move the previous question.
Second.
All right. Okay, yeah, there's a second.
Call the roll.
Yeah, is there dissent? Okay. Clerk, please call the roll.
Can we debate now? No, you need an open motion to vote.
Yes. Foster?
Yes.
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 Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes.
All right, the motion passes unanimously as well. Thank you, gentlemen.
Okay. On to new business. First, we have Resolution 11, Resolution Regarding SA Member Duties, sponsored by Representative Udish, Slavin, and Vice President Strickland.
Basically,
I think, or I hope most of us or all of us that are attending college are already doing this. So basically, it's just putting it into a formal resolution.
And for the college's multiple representatives, I think I mentioned in there, just coordinate and alternate or go together. I don't see this being a problem for the deans on their part. I know people that I've talked to are concerned with the deans' opinions on this, and I will go to them after I hear some feedback. But basically, I've been doing this already. I know my students have been doing this, Representative Budish, and it's been successful so far. So we'd like to expand that.
Okay. Raise your hands if you're on the speaker list. Representative Self.
I move to suspend the standing rules and move resolutions 11 and 12 to business of the day.
Okay, we have a motion to suspend the standing rules and move resolutions 11 and 12 to business of the day. Is there a second for that motion? Okay, is there any dissent?
Dissent.
All right.
Point of order, you can't move 11 to business of the day because the charter change has to have a new program. Okay, you have
to have a
new
program.
I think it's simple, sort of like the last resolution.
Representative Salem. This is new business. Let me clarify. We're not voting on anything right now, and if you're raising your hand, you're asking questions for clarification. There's no debate right now, and there's no voting. Okay? All right. Would anyone else like to be on the speech list? Vice President Coombs.
All right, howdy, guys. Thank you. okay, so like you said that you plan on consulting with the deans, but you haven't consulted with them yet.
Right. I mean, I've brought this up with my dean. We've talked about it. I've been meeting my dean bi-monthly. So I kind of wanted to now use the respective school representatives for them to go to their dean. I would possibly go with them. So yes, we haven't officially consulted all of the deans.
Is there anything right now that prohibits any SA member from going to visiting a dean any time that they so choose?
Of course not.
Okay.
Vice President Boxer, did you?
Oh no, I.
Okay.
Wait, just ask this question. So this is just making it mandatory for SA members to meet with their respective deans. Anyone could do it, but it's just making it mandatory. It's making it part of it.
It's three times a semester. It's just to establish more of that relationship.
Three times a semester?
Right.
Oh. Wait, I do have a question about that. I thought it was. That's a little bit difficult for arts and sciences. I was just wondering if you took that into account or you were just. I mean, because you guys all are three from the smaller school, so. I was just wondering if maybe you took it into account for ag or arts, maybe.
Yeah,
make it a
little.
Okay, yeah.
We were considering maybe potentially changing it. I don't know, this is why we came to you to gain some feedback via question. It would seem maybe for someone like a person in arts and sciences or engineering where the dean is a bit of a more high profile person, they could be the senior level administrator, maybe an associate dean.
Point of order, and this is just like, sorry guys, but it's like just in Rule 17 of the Standing Rules, it says any author whose legislation impacts any specific Cornell student, administrator, faculty member, or staff member will contact the party before such legislation is introduced as new business. So just as a point of order, I think we have to take this off of new business today.
Because by the people who proposed it, by their own admission, they haven't contacted the administrator.
Hold on. I'm in your room. All right. I'm going to leave it on new business because they did contact some of the teams, but going to require you all to contact all of the teams before we actually talk.
Sure. Like I said, I wanted the assembly's feedback before I started going to high-level administrators, so it kind of helped me just going to everyone individually, kind of see everyone just at one time. But
absolutely. Okay. Would anybody else like to be in the streets with us? Okay. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. We're going to go for it.
That's a good question. I mean, I thought about that. I didn't feel it was that necessary putting a penalty in here. I don't think there's necessarily a penalty for a lot of other bylaws that we have. It's just a responsibility that's in the charter and a lot of responsibility. And I don't think, I mean, I think this is a very beneficial thing to do on the whole part.
Is somebody else over there raising their hand? Hold up. Are you raising your hand to get the speaker's list?
I had a comment about the point of order.
No. Would anybody else like to be on the speaker? Okay. Next item on new business. Resolution 12, resolution regarding the academic bill of rights referendum. Sponsors, Representatives Salem and Vice President Smith.
Under the issue. So it's not like if you vote yes, and that means you get a vote yes when the, you know, forum, so I'm hoping, and I'm hoping to watch
Okay, thank you. Vice President Foster.
Hi, I have a couple of questions. First of all, I don't really, the referendum is not the point counterpoint in the stud, correct? It's some, what exactly is the referendum going
to
be?
A referendum is a vote taken by a student body who would be run through the Office of Assembly for the CIP. Basically, it's a yes or no response to you approve the academic Bill of Rights. We'll obviously have the text of the Bill of Rights there. We'll generate a lot of press so students will know and have an educated idea of what they're voting on. So basically, they vote on yes or no the acceptance of the resolution.
So have you guys spoken to CIT about, like, the expenses involved with, I mean, are you planning on sending out a campus-wide email with the academic Bill of Rights attached, or is it just the interested parties?
Yeah. Basically, the way that it would work is the same way that SA sort of elections work, is that, you know how you vote on UPortal now? It's no longer, like, an outside company. So basically, the idea is that CIT would run the elections, or whatever it's called, would run the referenda, in the sense that you will have the Bill of Rights, these are details we really haven't worked out, and thank you for bringing it up, whether it be sent as a text attachment to the entire school, whether it be on the page where you vote yes or no. That's something that, you know, that's a technical detail that we'll hash out with CIT, hopefully throughout the next week. So when it's on business of the day next week, and we're voting on it, I'll have that information for you guys.
Okay. Yeah. Could you? Okay.
Representative Bodner.
I have a question about the second slide.
Do you mind reading it?
Okay. Be it further resolved that both sides shall be able to publish their columns in the Cornell Daily on the same day as they submit their notes and passage of such a bill in accordance with guidelines set forth by the Cornell Daily Fund. I was wondering if you had already talked to the editor to make sure this is feasible, because I know that he has, like, a lot of stuff coming up, and I didn't know if this is actually, like, possible then.
Well, as we've mentioned in a couple of past meetings, the SA has access to the guest room column on Tuesdays and Fridays when they have room. Vice President Greenberg and I published an article 2 weeks ago. We will hopefully be publishing one next Friday. So we were going to give them the reason we're passing this resolution now, if we can give them advance notice of this. I'm sure they'll be open to it, because you'll see what a great amount of presence will involve. And Carlos Maycock, the opinion editor of The Sun, is working closely with the student assembly, so I will be sure to mention him to him after.
Okay. Vice President Coons.
Yeah, I just had a couple of questions to clarify some stuff for me. But then also, like, in the future, if you guys bring this back, you mentioned specifically Princeton and how it passed there. Can we get some more information on that, and, like, whether it was contentious, what the vote was, who passed it?
It was extremely contentious. That's why we don't feel like we should personally vote on the Academic Bill of Rights as 23 or 19 students. We feel it should come before the entire student body.
I don't mean to interrupt you. I mean, just in case they, like for time's sake. Also, like, I know it's come before, like, Cornell, the Cornell essay before.
Yeah.
Can we have some information as to, like, okay, and then just also when it says be it further resolved that both sides shall be able to publish a guest column, how would you determine who the side is and, like, who's going to write that, like, who makes that determination? And when you let me just get this one more in, and then where it says whereas academic freedom is an issue, do the people who are bringing this resolution forward feel that academic freedom is lacking at Cornell?
Okay, two things I guess I'll respond. I'm sorry, I didn't really want to list the questions first. But I'll respond to your latter two since I responded to your former two. Who's going to make a determination about both sides? Obviously, I guess the utilization of the executive board, the SA, or N/ with, you know, with the Vice President of Communications, since he's the one who started the guest column idea in The Sun. So we feel that, we feel that that's the best way. And then for your final question, I actually forgot what it was. Sorry. What was it?
Do the people who bring this resolution forward, do you guys feel that academic freedom is lacking at Cornell?
We're not making a decision on this. The resolution neither says that or denies it. We're merely saying that this is an important issue.
Okay, thank you. Representative Carter.
Yeah, I was wondering for the whereas clause, whereas referenda will not be costly given that they are administered by CAC. I felt this was a very broad statement, and I was wondering what not be costly exactly meant.
It meant that the farm within the, basically that we can pay for them, that they're not going to cost us. If you were here 2 years ago with the whole election and re-election debate, you would know that there was talk about elections costing or anything, holding anything online, costing around $6,000. That's, to my knowledge, talking to people, it's no longer the case. I do not have exact figures on how much exactly it will cost, but will not be costly was referring to previous discussions about like costing $6,000 and $8,000 like a few years ago, but I guess you weren't here for that.
Okay, thank you.
Can I motion to make an amendment to strip that clause?
There's no amendments, it's new business, there's only questions. No debate, no amendments, no vote. Okay. Representative Sutton.
I just have two comments that might improve what you're trying to do. Because I think this is an interesting idea instead of just bringing up the resolution for the FAA on the Bill of Rights. I think that it might be a good idea to actually have some sort of forum or one or two forums with maybe a panel with really cheap or not, with some government professors, that in order to publicize and get undergraduate talk about this issue, instead of just, you know, putting it on the portal with the documents attached, because I think the name might be somewhat simplistic sounding, and a yes no question, I don't think that's going to be an accurate number. The second thing is, I'd like it, if possible, when you bring this back next week, if you could attach a lot more of the, just like, give a little active specific information about history of other Ivies, and just that thing, like, I think will not be constantly one of the departments that should be replaced with, like, the dollar figure for the online voting costs.
Sure. Do you need your time to respond to their...
Well, those are just some comments.
Both the questions.
You're allowed to take questions and non-argumentative comments.
Oh, I'm asking if there was a question to determine whether or not he should respond. Okay. Vice President Boston.
I was actually just going to say something similar. I mean, where is the money coming? I was just going to second what Calvin said. If you guys might want to think about looking into some sort of panel, I think that might be really helpful. That might also help you gauge how interested students are by attendance at the panel. Because Ahmed, I know that you were speaking about the elections discussions and whatever. It can still cost thousands of dollars to do something like this if you want to do it on the computer and send it out to campus. So I know you guys have already said that you're going to look into cost a little bit more, but I would encourage you to think about other options if that proves too costly.
Okay, thank you. Would anybody else?
There's a question there.
Well, there was no question. Representative Hartman.
Does this resolution affect graduate students?
No, we're an undergraduate body, as we all know. So this resolution holds. If it's passed by the GPSA separately, they could do that, but I haven't talked to them, and I might be sitting there. And I don't think they would, you know, that would affect them at all. It's an undergraduate statement. And also, this resolution, the results of the referenda are to be forwarded to the GPSA, so they'll know how this goes if it does go through.
Okay. I've never actually read the Academic Bill of Rights, but does it say undergraduate students, or does it just say students?
The Academic Bill of Rights, the original one, is talking about the university's role. It just says students, it doesn't say undergraduate students. However, the vote is obviously going to be by undergraduate. When we publish something, or when we invite them, we'll say the undergraduate students of Cornell voted to approve or voted to disapprove that kind of right. So that's not a technicality that's not really worth.
Well, 3,000.
No, we're not debating right now.
Can
okay.
I?
No. Vice President Coombs.
Yeah, I just had a further point to clarify to ask you guys about, because I know the resolution is called Resolution Calling for a University-Wide Referendum for the Student Bill of Rights, but then the question you want to ask in the referendum is, do you approve the Academic Bill of Rights?
We'll correct the title.
I just want to, like, what is the, is there a difference, or is there, like, what is it, what is the, like, where does this Academic Bill of Rights come from, and what is the difference between the Academic and the Student Bill of Rights?
There is quite a difference in my understanding. I read, and like, if you go to the main website which hosts the Academic Bill of Rights, Students for Academic Freedom, there is an Academic Bill of Rights, and there is like a Princeton version of the Academic Bill of Rights that they call Student Bill of Rights. We will correct the title to read the Academic Bill of Rights. We don't believe that the versions are contradictory. We believe they go hand in hand, and that the students should take a stance on the Academic Bill of Rights itself. By the way, if anyone is interested in reading it, you could go to studentsforacademicfreedom.org. That might save a little bit of paper if people want to be environmentally friendly. I mean, I don't mind copying it for everyone for the next meeting, but I'm just saying that might save a little bit.
Thank you. Would anybody else like to be placed on the speaker's list? Okay. Representative Butich.
I'm just wondering, I know how hard it is to get people excited about something like this that they might not even really know about, or might sound tedious or, you know, academic. So I was wondering if you had any specific
ways
to publicize
this
and get students really excited about
this? Well, we have a communications commission who's going to work on this and look at different ways to advertise for it and get people excited about it and talking about it. We see scores for Athens, Porter Party, chalk if I need to. We can write letters to the editor. There are a number of forums that we can utilize to get students excited and knowledgeable about the Bill of Rights before they go. And also Representative Bonner, who suggested the panel, or someone who suggested the panel, definitely do advertising at university administration and the union level. I don't know, but we can explore this down the line.
Thank you. Vice President Bonner. Vice President Bonner.
Okay, yeah, I just have a clarification. I guess this is really for my purposes, but also for anyone who maybe isn't as familiar with the Bill of Rights. Can you guys say if perhaps this is viewed nationally as some sort of partisan effort or whatever, campaign, and so if we are sort of getting behind it in terms of publicity or something, it's just sort of getting the word out, I understand not standing on one side or the other, but even, is it a concern at all that perhaps this may be viewed as some sort of partisan issue, and if so, just us really pushing it and making it such a big initiative would sort of associate us with anything of that
sure.
regard?
That's a very, very legitimate question, actually. I was waiting for someone to ask it. Basically, obviously, everyone, it's not a secret, if you go to Students for Academic Freedom, that the person who authored the Bill of Rights is David Horowitz, whose affiliation is pretty known with the Republican Party. But we feel, if you go on the website, there's a lot of liberal supporters of the Bill of Rights, there are a lot of liberal opponents of the Bill of Rights, a lot of conservative opponents of the Bill of Rights. We feel it's become an important issue in and of its own, independent of being conservative or a liberal initiative. We feel that to strike down an idea just because, or to strike down a referendum just because the person who came up with the idea happened to be affiliated with a party, is probably a bad idea. We can't just kill an idea because, you know, it happens to be affiliated or created by a conservative or by a liberal. So basically, we feel that independent of anything, it has become an important issue. Independent, if you publicize it as something that you disagree or agree with, obviously then that will show that it is not like a given. And I think that Princeton, we all know Princeton is generally a liberal, more liberal institution, and they've decided to undertake the Academic Bill of Rights and take a referendum on it. And they didn't, you know, there was no one started labeling Princeton as a conservative institution because the academic bill of rights passed, or no one started labeling the student body as overly conservative. So I think that that year is well, you know, it's well ugly, you know, should be considered, but we don't feel it's a big deal at all because, you know, it's an initiative that's important in, on its own. Does that answer your question?
Just yes or no, I guess. You don't think that the text has any sort of partisan overtones or undertones, I guess I should say. The
no.
text itself, it's just the author.
No, the academic bill of rights has no partisan under, has no partisan, like, tones. I mean, I've read it many, many times, and I don't think that there is anything in it that suggests it's partisan.
Yes, thank you. Representative Nissen.
Yeah, my question is concerning how it's worded and where you're getting it from. Are you just going to kick this off that website and that's, is that what we're approving? I don't really understand.
Oh, the academic bill of rights.
Where the document is coming from?
The academic bill of rights, yes, is coming straight out of the website. We will look over it this week just again to scrutinize it and feel something in it directly, like doesn't pertain. It's a very generic document in the way it's written, so we don't feel anything will like not pertain to Cornell. But if there's anything in particular that stands out, and if you guys read it over the weekend, please send us like me or TJ feedback as to, okay, we feel that this clause is irrelevant. Because it's basically, it's just a generic document. We could pretty much play around with it and produce our own form that we'd like to put on the referendum. And I know I'm open, and TJ seems to be also open to suggestions regarding that. Also, we can add the text to the Bill of Rights if that would include the assembly, the actual text that we're going to use, we plan on using, and we can vote on that, and that's approved, and that's the text that we've used. Obviously, that's not true.
Vice President Greenberg.
In order for this to work the way that you two are hoping for, the university is going to have to sign on to this to give it some legitimacy. Now, I'm wondering if part of the process of prepping for the referendum, in your mind, is consulting with the university administration so they know this is coming. Because I'm worried that if we pass the, referendum saying that we're in favor of an academic bill of rights, and then the university decides not to sign on for it, that's going to look pretty bad for us. So I'm curious what your preparations are.
The referendum is not representative of the opinion of the student assembly. It is an opinion and a majority vote of what the student body, the undergraduate student body at Cornell says. Regardless of whether or not the administration is open to it, I think it's important that they know that how the majority of students at Cornell feel. We can definitely consult Vice President Murphy and President Scorton or Provost Martin that this academic bill of rights is coming, but if this assembly approves it, then we're going to do it.
Do you think it would be wise to consult with them before the referendum goes before the student population now? Well, let me rephrase that. Would you put the referendum forth without having university administration support on it?
Yes. Well, like, what do you mean by support? Is it if they support a referendum or if they support the Bill of Rights?
I feel like
you don't need them to necessarily support the Bill of Rights for us.
Actually, I'm gonna roll that out of order.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Can't ask him a question. Representative Self.
Okay, what's this to the chair?
We just need clarification, so we're going
to... You would have to set aside the standing rules, actually, because it's in the standing rules.
Okay, we'll
withdraw. But you can still motion to overrule me.
No,
but
we'll withdraw.
Okay. Representative Self.
I have a quick question. So if this referendum goes up or down, like whatever percentage vote, by the way, do you plan to follow that with an essay resolution that sort of corresponds with the vote?
Oh, once the referendum is passed, it is the student body's decision. So if the student body, we're representative of them. So if they, majority of them, feel a specific way and they vote, then that's pretty much, like, that is an action of the student assembly. The referendum itself becomes an action.
Okay.
That will be presented to the GKSA administration as listed in the
policy. So you're planning to use the referendum?
Yes, the referendum.
The second question I have is, since we have problems with the percentage of students who actually vote in any online election, you know, I mean, we have, like, our highest number, I think actually Representative Salem gets the most number of seats, which is less than 2,000 votes. Is there a number of undergraduate students that you're going to look for to participate in a referendum before you feel that it's representative for all undergraduates?
Well, That's a very, very interesting question. I mean, it has to be, the referendum is going to represent the undergraduate body. We're going to publicize it as much as we can, but if only 2,000 or 3,000 decide to vote, then that's just how it is. I mean, it's sort of like we, as you said, like our body, only 2,000 people voted for us, but yet we're considered representative of the entire student body. You know what I mean? Like, that's just a problem with, like, that's an overarching problem with democracy and participation that we're not going to attempt to solve. Like, that, if we knew the solution, then we would, like, tell people how to vote in presidential elections and stuff. Like, no one knows how to solve that problem of apathy within the student body. So, I mean, there's no really set number that we're going to shoot for. That disregards the other people who actually went out and voted. Like, if we shoot for 3,000 and 20,000.
Okay, I think I understand you're not going to vote for.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Representative, yeah.
My question, I want to cross the bite. I don't think those two are analogous, the presidential election and the vote on referendum or no.
Do you have a question? I'm sorry, do you have a question?
I'm crossing the question. Okay. Just so people understand the context.
Okay.
There's a much different way that we go about our national politics and national election, and we trust in the results of that election because of that. And here at Cornell, you guys do a couple chalkings. You can't say, oh, you know what, this is representative of the undergraduate student body if only 10% of the people vote and they're the most underprivileged.
Okay.
So my question would be then, how could you possibly say, in answering Calvin's question, that, you know what, if only 3,000 people vote, who cares? So that's it.
No, no, that's not what I said. I didn't say
I'm sorry. Can you clarify what your question is?
What did you mean by, in response to the question, you said if only 2,000 or so people vote, so what, that's that?
No, I said, what I meant is that if 3,000 people vote, that just means that 3,000 people voted. I don't think we can ensure that everyone votes. Like, when someone ran for, like, the arts and sciences seat and won 400 votes and is now representing arts and sciences college, no one's going around telling them you're not a representative because actually the arts and sciences college had like 2,000 people in it and only 400 voted for you.
Okay, Representative Salem, I'm going to stop you there. Please ask your, the questions really need to have to do with the merits of the actual resolution itself. Please refrain from any debate. Okay? Does anybody else want to be placed on the second speaker's list? You've spoken two or three times. Anybody else want to be placed on the second speaker's list? Okay. On to the third speaker's list. Representative Parkman.
What does the academic vote rights actually do? Because it means you can do things you approve of monsters.
Mustard. Second.
That will be resolution 13. But aside from that, I think what the academic fellow's rights does is that it's a statement from the student body, whether it's a yes or no, that the issues of Jackson academic fellow's rights tackle, such as encouraging the university to employ equally minded, like professors who have opposing mindsets in the humanities, things of that nature. It's going to say that the majority of the students, whatever the number may be, 30% plus one, or 60%, or even 40%, whatever the number that supports or opposes the bill, either thinks that that's an important issue at Cornell or thinks that it's not an important issue at Cornell. So it basically tackles that issue, is what the academic Bill of Rights does. And what the support or the non-support of it does to the referendum.
I move to end discussion with the next item of business.
I think this, okay.
Is there a second?
Second.
Is there any dissent?
Well, are there any more people on the speaker list?
Oh, we can still make that motion. Is there any dissent?
Point of inquiry? Yes. Are there any more people on the
Yes,
speaker?
There are. Would you like me to read their names? Vice
no,
President Coombs and Vice President Greenberg were on the speech list.
So it's this side.
Yeah, it's that side.
Okay. I'm going to take a hand vote. All in favor of moving to the next item of business, please raise your hands. All in favor of moving from the next item of business, basically stop ending discussion on Resolution 12 and moving on to Resolution 13, please raise your hands. Hi, elbows off the table.
Point of inquiry.
Is it still the time? 5:40.
Okay. Please raise your hands, elbows high up the table.
Majority
of present. Present. Okay. And motion passes. On to Resolution 13, resolution regarding SA purview. The only sponsor is Parliamentarian Adderley. Parliamentarian Adderley, you're going to need a co-sponsor for this one or a petition with 100 signatures from front of people. Is there a co-sponsor?
The reason, just to explain to you real quick, when I talked to Mark about it last year, we brought it just off the table to start a discussion because it would have been okay if it was still brought up last year, but we said we'd put on a sponsor before it gets voted on. Is that okay, or do you want a sponsor?
No, I want a sponsor.
Okay. You know what, guys, just read it, and then we'll put on new business next week. We can get it anyways.
Okay.
Please just read it. Put on new business next week.
Okay. Session.
Oh yeah.
Okay, we're just going into executive session. And so with all members or with all non-SA members, please leave the room now. The assembly is going into executive session. We don't have any more business on the agenda, so you guys can leave for the day.